fill our mouths with words from you, Lord. Fill our hearts with your joy. Help us to put our weeks aside, what we have upcoming aside. Help us to make room for you so we can hear what you want us to hear. No one can stand against you. Demons will bow at your feet. Oh, no one can stop you, Lord. You're so good. We praise your name. We lift your name on high. There is no more powerful name than the name of Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, and we love you, Jesus. In your precious and mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Am I ever glad you guys all came here this morning? Because if it would have been just me, it would have been pretty grim. It's just, where I'm going with this is that it's just so good to be with other believers, with other people that love God and want to just serve him and do what he's calling us to do, what he's calling you to do. And I'm willing to bet you $5 there's nobody here that thinks they're perfect. And we, you know, it's just not good when I look at and dwell on, think about me and how far from, you know, the man that God wants me to be, right? I don't think we look at ourselves and we think we're perfect. And it's just so awesome that God calls us and says, yeah, I know you're a schmuck, but come. Come. And in Christ, in Jesus, we can get rid of that. And he keeps bringing us to where he wants us. And it's a journey. And, you know, I'm so thankful for these people that are up here. And they're leading us in worship. They're leading us into the throne room of God. And, you know, they're probably the same as me. They're probably looking and saying, I'm a long ways from perfect. But I'm so thankful that they just say, you know what, I'm going to do what I can. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit and my Savior Jesus Christ move through me. And then when they do that and when we all do that, it's beautiful. And I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad you're here, that we have, you know, others to worship with. Check this out. I'm going to read out of Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 20, I guess. 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. And that's what we get to do here this morning when we worship and hang out and pray with and talk to other believers. We are drawing near to God. So God says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So, yeah, it's good that you guys are here. I'm really glad you guys are here. Like I said, it would have been pretty grim if it was just me by myself. course, without a key, I wouldn't have even got in the front door. So, yeah, it would have been even worse. Yeah. So just keep going. And like, it's good to meet here, and there's it's so good that you can hang out and sing with and talk to and pray with other Christians. And let me just encourage you to take it beyond Sunday morning, right? Find time to hang out with other believers. And in by extension, you're hanging out with God. So the first song that these guys let us in was How Great Is Our God. And what a perfect song. Annie's going to come and tell us a story about how great is our God. And I'm on the verge of blubbering again, so I got to quit. But Annie, come on up. She come up and told me this story this morning, and I was just like, I just had shivers. Oh, it's awesome.
You all know about my drug addiction and my alcohol. Only a certain few know this. When my kids were 3 and 1, I left them by themselves, which resulted in them being taken and put in foster care for 2 years. Last week, I learned how to forgive myself, and I talked to my daughter, who's gone into counseling about it. She asked me yesterday at 3:15 to Skype with her. So I did. Standing next to her was her pastor. And he turned around and said he's been counseling her for a while. And she said, Mom, she said, it's done. She said, I forgive you 100%. And she said, I can actually tell you that I love you and mean it with all my heart. And then she turned around and she said, Mom, she said, if Jesus can forgive your sins, she said, who am I not to? It was better than the day that I got clean. It was words that I've longed to hear for many, many years. And I thank God for that. Every song that was sang here this morning, yeah, it reached home. And I'm just grateful that God is in my life.
Told ya. Yeah, how great is our God? How great is our God? Whew. Thanks, Annie. Stan. Yeah. Stan's going to bring a word this morning. That's good, eh?
Yes.
Let's pray. Yeah, God, you are good. I thank you, God, that you join us and you want us to join you, that you draw us to you and you seek us out. You keep seeking us out. Thank you, God. Thank you for being so patient with us. Thank you for constantly coming to get us. Thank you, God, for other believers. Thank you for a place to worship you, God. Thank you for other people that love you and want to come and worship you. Thank you, God, for your holy word. And thank you for people that look at themselves or look at ourselves and say, yeah, we're not worthy, but by the blood of Jesus and by the cross of Jesus and what Jesus has done, you have made us worthy. You have given us worth. Oh, so we thank you, God. And we just want to praise you. We want to lift up your holy name. And God, I pray that you would speak through Stan this morning, God. God, speak. Holy Spirit, speak. Thank you for your many blessings, God. In Jesus we pray.
Wow. I think that I said when we were singing, something's going to happen. And there's a start, right? Something happened already. I said, you know, I guess the word that God's been giving me, something's going to happen. something's going to happen. Trust me. Not me. Trust God. You know, trust God. Something's going to happen. You're struggling with something in your life. You're struggling with all kinds of things. Jesus says, I know. I know what those things are. And you say, but God, I need something to happen. He goes, something's going to happen. Might not be exactly the way that you want it to happen, but something's going to happen. Open your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke today, Luke chapter 18. Do you mind getting me water? Last Sunday, wasn't that great last Sunday? Wasn't that amazing how God's Spirit moved and how we learned a lot about the Father's heart over the weekend and just learned how much God loves us. He loves us like a real father, like a true father. He loves us with unconditional love. He accepts us. His arms are always open for us. I don't know about you, but I just found a real healing and real therapy in that, just knowing that God loves me that much and that Jesus portrays the Father's heart. I love what he said. He just said it over and over again because he knew we probably wouldn't get it the first couple times, but that Jesus never did anything that the Father didn't tell him to do. He never said anything. He said, I don't say anything unless the Father tells me to say it. And so that was the message from the Father to the church and to us today, is that he's got a Father's heart for us. Do you mind just turning it down a little bit up here? It's kind of around reverberating a little loud for me. So he's been challenging me. He's saying, well, do you expect something to happen? Are you really expecting, even when you come to church, do you expect something's going to happen? Or is it just sort of the way it's always going to be, that we come, we sing, we kind of have a good time, we get a couple hugs, we pat a few backs, and we go on our way, but really not a whole lot happens? That's the question I want to start with today. And a lot of the answer to that question has to do with you and me, whether we're going to be open to God. I believe that God wants something to happen, but we need to expect it to happen. Let's read. Here's a story. Last week we heard about Legion, about the guy who was full of demons, right, and how the demons went into the pigs, and all about the Father's love and how much he loves us, and that he even would go so far, that Jesus would go so far to even love someone like, what did he call him? The naked demon-possessed guy, right? The naked demon-possessed guy. So the point is, if God, through Jesus Christ, can love the naked demon-possessed guy, he can love me. And that's a wonderful message. So here's another parable, not a parable, here's another story, an actual event that happened in the ministry of Jesus where he shows amazing love and acceptance and healing for someone, and we're going to learn from this today. So here we go. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. Know this, it's just as we're getting into this. This is near the end of Jesus' ministry. He's just about to come into Jerusalem, and you know what's going to happen when he comes into Jerusalem? In just a few days, he's going to be arrested. He is going to be on trial. He is going to be crucified, and he's going to die, and he's going to be raised again. But this is the last few days, the last week and a half of Jesus' life. So we're getting to the climax of why the Father sent his Son. And so as he's coming from Jericho into Jerusalem, the next thing that's going to happen is Palm Sunday. And they're going to all start crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're all going to be cheering because they think that he's an earthly king. That's the next thing that's going to happen. Just prior to that, we read this. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, what was happening? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. And he ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? That's got to be the best question in the whole world. We'll get to that. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. I don't know about you. I love this story. I don't know. I haven't read it for a long time, but just spending some time this week in the Word. And this has been a hard week. I think it may be a hard week for a lot of people for all kinds of reasons that sometimes don't make any sense even, but sometimes we just struggle. You know, sometimes there's just a special attack of the enemy, or we're going through a real valley in our lives. I found a lot of encouragement in this, and I hope you do too. And it really has to do with that there's something happening. That here's the statement I want to make. Whenever Jesus is in the room, whenever Jesus is near, whenever Jesus is close by, you can just expect something's going to happen. Because that's what happened last week with the guy who had all the demons, and it's clearly what's happening in this story. Whenever Jesus is there, whenever Jesus is near, you should be asking the question, well, what's going to happen? Something's going to happen here because Jesus is here. And really, it's just a logical assertion then today. If it's true, I'm sort of basing everything on this premise. If it's true that Jesus is here, and I believe he is, then something's going to happen. I don't know what it is, but I'm excited because I'm telling you something is going to happen because Jesus is here. Now, I want you to imagine, first of all, as we kind of look at this story, imagine what it must have been like for this man who we know. As a matter of fact, just so you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell this same story. And it's a pivotal story. Whenever we get the same story from all three sources, we know that we should really pay attention to this. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us the story about Bartimaeus is his name. Matthew tells us his name. His name is Bartimaeus. Luke just says he's a blind guy. And he's sitting by the side of the road, and he hears the commotion of the crowds going by. And what does he say? What does he say? What? No, earlier than that, he goes, what's happening here? What's happening? Something's happening. What's going on? Something's happening. I want you, just for a moment, imagine, close your eyes. Imagine, go ahead, Tim, put that on. I want you to think like Bartimaeus today. Imagine you're him. Tell me, what's going on? What? Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, he said. Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth. Can you imagine? Imagine what that must have been like. You're blind and you're sitting by the side of the road. You're in that same place that you've been for years. It's been a pretty good fishing hole for you because people throw, a little denarii at you once in a while. And all of a sudden you hear, there's this escalation of noise of the crowd. There are people coming. There's more people. More people are stomping by you, and they're walking. The dust is getting stirred up. It's getting in the back of your throat, and you cough a little bit. You know that something's going on, but you don't know what it is. What's going on? What's happening here? Something's happening here, and I don't know what it is. What is this? Someone tell me. And then someone says, oh, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And I want you to notice what the blind man says. Does he say, let me ask you this question. Does he say, Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth? Does he start crying out, Jesus of Nazareth? No. What he really does is he cries out, Jesus, son of David. Let's read that. In Luke chapter 18, let me just read that one passage. So he says, what's happening? They told him, here's what they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. But he calls out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, he says it again. In fact, they tried to shut him up. We'll get to that. Those who led the way rebuked him. They went, shh, what's the matter with you? Shh, be quiet. And then he said all the louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But he doesn't call him son, or he doesn't call him Jesus of Nazareth. He says Son of David. And what we need to understand is that's a messianic title for Jesus. He is the Son of David. Jesus of Nazareth is just a human man who came from Nazareth. But this blind man had faith. And that's why Jesus in a few minutes will reward his faith and will say, you've done well because of your faith. Because he knows who this Jesus is. He knows he's Jesus, Son of David. And when they try to shut him up, he says it all the louder. Right? Because he knows, here's what this means. He knows that this King David, this King Jesus, who is the Son of David, is going to be the King of all kings. And he's going to be the one who was prophesied about and who was promised in the Old Testament when God said to David the king, your throne and your kingdom and your lineage will go on forever and ever, and someone from your lineage will be the Savior of the world. Someone will come to redeem my people. Amen? Right? Let me read that from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Here's a promise that God made to David, and it's going to be on the screen. It starts with verse 12, where God says, I will raise up for you your offspring to succeed you, and who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus' kingdom, Jesus' throne, Jesus' reign is going to last forever and ever and ever. Amen? And that's what he's talking to David about. He's saying, you're going to have from your lineage the promise I'm making you. He said, I'm going to make you a king, David. I'm going to put you on the throne, but I got way better news for you. I've got another son that's going to be born. He's going to be my son, and he's going to come from your lineage, and he's going to reign on the throne forever and ever and ever. Let me just finish reading that. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. And then verse 16, and your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be forever established. Isn't that good? You say amen? That Jesus Christ, he's the King of all kings. And his throne and his kingdom and his reign is going to reign. He's going to reign forever and ever and ever. And it's important that we understand what's going on here. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem to take his throne. He's coming into Jerusalem, yeah, to die on a cross, to be the sacrifice, but he's coming into the city for the last time so that he could be the sacrifice, so that he could be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen? So that he could fulfill the words of that prophecy that God made to his great-great-great-great-grandfather, David, right? And so that's important because the blind guy, Bartimaeus, is standing or sitting by the side of the road. He hears this commotion, and, you know, no one else seems to get this. I mean, maybe some of the crowd gets it, but they still think, some of them at least, still think he's Jesus of Nazareth. And you know what? He's doing some pretty cool things. So I'm going to follow him. He does some miracles, and he feeds us sometimes with just a few loaves. And so a lot of people are just following him for whatever reason. But the blind man, he gets it. You are the Son of David. Jesus, Son of David. And when they try to shut him up, he says it again, all the louder. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I love that. I know you do too, right? And you got to know that when you yell that out, there's always going to be someone trying to shh you. Am I right? You try proclaiming Christ. I mean, if you just want to talk about him as a good teacher or a nice guy in history, people probably won't go shh. They won't get mad at you. But you start talking about Jesus as Messiah. You start talking about the redemptive work that he's done. You start talking that he is the Son of David. And you start crying out, God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me. They're going to shush you. Or they're going to just tell you to upright shut up. Be quiet. Don't be yelling that around here. right? They do, yeah. Right? Because when we stand up, we start proclaiming the messianic king, that this is Jesus. Don't expect that there's going to be a whole lot of people saying, oh, more, more, let me hear more. They're going to go, shh, be quiet. What's the matter with you? He must have, I think this blind Bartimaeus must have had a really big voice. I think that because he was blind for those many years and because he had to get attention, he probably built up his vocal cords so that he could get people to throw the money at him, right? Alms for the poor, right? Help me, I need some money. He probably had a really obnoxious voice. He wasn't famous for being particularly polite. He didn't care. He just wanted to get it out there. And if I'm annoying you, just throw me some money and that's okay. And he had this big, because somehow he had this big booming voice that over the noise of the crowd, there's still this voice. Everyone could hear him and they're going, shh, what's the matter with you? Be quiet. You're annoying us. You're bugging me. Shut up. And he doesn't go, oh, okay, sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. No, he didn't care if he's offending. He could care less. You know, he yells it all the louder. We should do the same. Man, we should have that kind of faith, that kind of boldness. That's the word, right? We should have that kind of boldness. You don't like what I'm saying? You don't like this Jesus I'm proclaiming to you? You don't like it that I talk about the blood, or that I talk about that he died for me, or that he is the King of Kings, and that I'm going to reign with him forever and ever? Too bad. I'm just going to shout it louder. I'm going to shout it louder because something's happening here. Something important is really happening here. And so he shouts out this messianic statement of faith. It's really a statement of faith, right? That Jesus is the Son of David. Son of David, have mercy on me. And they're trying to shut him up. And sometimes we think, well, that must be the religious people. And that may be true, at least to some point, but it doesn't really say that. It says, actually, the crowd tried to shut him up. Now, it's true that sometimes the disciples tried to shut people up. Sometimes they told little kids to go away. But I think it's a much broader application here today, because it might not be just the religious community that's trying to shut you up. Sometimes they do. But maybe it's your family, or maybe it's your spouse. You know, just be quiet. Sit down, Harry. Don't be standing up waving your arms, you know, praising God. Just behave yourself, right? I don't know. Maybe it's your how many of you have family who think you're weird? How many of them are right? Well, some of them are. Thank you for your honesty. Some of them are going to think we're weird just because we go to a church, maybe particularly this church, and because you believe in Jesus and because you're vocal about it. I know some of you are nodding your head to that. I just affirm you. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing what God wants you to do. It isn't just the disciples. It isn't just the religious community that's trying to put a lid on this. It can be government. It can be your family. It can be your neighborhood. They say, you know, we don't want any of that around here. It's hard sometimes to stand against all of that and say, no, I'm going to stand up for Jesus Christ. He is the Son of David. I belong to him. I'm going to proclaim him from the rooftops. Amen? Sometimes that's hard to do, but that's what God calls us to do. And when this blind Bartimaeus does that, amazing things happen in his life. We need to spend a little time recognizing that too. So he's crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, well, who's that? Come, bring him to me. Yeah, he brings him. He stands before Jesus. And Jesus says, there's that line again, and I mentioned it when we read it. What can I do for you? What would you say if he asked you that? What can I do for you? Isn't that phenomenal that Jesus would even ask that question? I mean, we're talking about the King of Kings, that he'd stand before you and say, okay, what can I do for you, right? What can I do? What do you need that I can do? What can I do for you? How do we answer that question? I'm afraid sometimes we answer that question without really thinking about it. We think about things like, well, God, my hair is way too curly. And if you could just straighten it out a little bit, that would be I just hate my hair. Or my visa, it's overdrawn. Can you just take care of my visa? Right? Or I need a man in my life, God. You know, here's what you can do for me. We throw those things out But you know what? I don't think if we really were standing before the King of Kings, I'm not sure we could even get our tongue out of our mouths to respond to him. And I don't think we'd be saying those things that we sometimes pray for. Instead, I think we would just look him in the eye and say, Jesus, if we could get words out of my mouth, I would say, Jesus, let your kingdom come. Jesus, you decide what would be best for me. I'm not going to pick one of those trivial things. I'm going to ask you to do what you think is best. Do a bigger thing than what I might think. Sometimes what I want from you is just a little thing. Do a bigger thing. Change the hearts of the people in this city. Change the hearts so that the sons and the daughters and the grandchildren are coming back to you, God. Wouldn't that be a good request to ask of Jesus, right? So much better request than sometimes we might ask him ourselves. One of the things that I think is really important is that he says, have mercy on me. And know this. I really believe this to be true, that anytime Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of David, anytime he did anything when he was on earth, he did it in the context of mercy. He didn't just do stuff because it was a cool thing to do or because he wanted to impress his friends. He did, whatever he did it because he wanted to show mercy and love, right? He showed love and mercy. When he fed the 5,000, he did it because he was merciful. When he drove out the demons, like last week, he did it just because he loved them and because he wanted to show mercy, right? When he healed people, he did it just because he wanted to demonstrate mercy to them. When he forgave, when he said, your sins are forgiven, why did he do it? Because he loved them. Yeah, he loved them. He says, I love you. You're forgiven. I show my mercy to you. Every single time, it's about the mercy of God. And so, this blind Bartimaeus really was asking the right question. Even though he asks for his eyes to be healed, I think that's okay too. But what he really asks Jesus is just show your mercy. Jesus, show your mercy. Show your loving kindness. Show your the depth of your love to me. And whatever you determine that to be, Jesus, whatever you decide, that mercy is going to be for me. I'll receive it from you. And that might be healing. It might be forgiveness. It might be a loaf of bread today. But whatever it is, I know one thing, Jesus, and that's that you are a merciful God. And if I ask you to show me your mercy, you will do that. So, Jesus, show me what you say is mercy today. And he did, and he healed him, right? He did, and he healed him. Because that is who our God is. Do you believe that? You know, that he's a God, he doesn't just walk by you. I know maybe some of you have thought that before, that he's a God who just keeps walking by me. I keep crying out to him, and he just walks on, and the crowd, next thing you know, the crowds aren't nearly as loud anymore, and I don't even know what happened. I want you to know this today, that he's not a Jesus, he's not a king who walks by you. He's a king who hears you when you cry to him for mercy. If you say, Jesus, stop! Jesus, save me! He saves because he's merciful, right? He doesn't walk by you. He doesn't want to walk by you today either. He wants to come up to you. He wants to come close to you and say, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? What do you need? How can I help you? How can I be your king, your real king? How can I love you today? It's a pretty good question, right? It's a pretty good question. The problem is, and now we're getting back to what I said in the beginning, the problem is a lot of times we don't really expect anything to happen. We've gone for so many years thinking that Jesus just keeps walking by us, that he's just going to keep walking by us. And so we don't really have any expectations. And if you don't expect anything to happen, that's exactly what you get. Nothing happens. Even in a service, even like what we're doing here today, remember what I said earlier, something's going to happen here today. Maybe it already did. Maybe there's more. Maybe God's got something greater than we can imagine. I do know one thing, and that's that he usually works through us. So if something happens, it's because the Spirit of God works through me to minister to you, or works through you to encourage me, or maybe for me to say you're forgiven because God tells me you're forgiven. Or you know how that is? That's how the body functions. And so when I say that something's going to happen here, it's going to depend on our faith today and our willingness to be obedient. Now, the easiest thing is for nothing to happen. And we all seem really okay with that when that happens. We're all, oh, nothing happened today. We sang some good songs, though, and we had fun, and I saw some people I haven't seen for a week. Let's go to Tim Hortons. Nothing happened. That's okay. We kind of used to that. I mean, nothing has happened for years. Why should we think that anything is going to happen now? Well, it's only going to happen if we're obedient and if we have faith. This guy, this blind Bartimaeus, he had great faith. He knew who Jesus was. Do you know who Jesus is? Can you say he is the Son of David? He's my King. He's my Lord. Then you got faith. So if you've got faith and you've got obedience, then maybe something is going to happen here today. But maybe we got to wait. I hope you got nowhere to go. Because maybe we got to wait for a while. You know, there was a guy who waited by the pool in Bethesda 38 years. Every day, 38 years he waited for the pool to get stirred up. Really, he was waiting for Jesus. In 38 years, I will be 100 and whatever. No, not quite. I'll be 96, right, honey? Yeah, something like that. There was a couple in the temple who were told that Jesus was going to come. They were told that the Messiah was going to be born. Anna and Simeon were their names. And we're told that Anna waited 7 years after her husband died. She got married, her husband died. 7 years later, she went to the temple, and that she spent every day in the temple for the rest of her life, which could very well have been 40 or 50 or 60 years. She waited. You know why? I'll tell you why. I know you didn't really ask that question, but I'm going to pretend you asked the question. She did because she said, I'm not going anywhere until something happens. I'm going to sit here until something happens. When something happens, I will die. Now I'll be good with that. What about you? What about us? Are we willing to wait? Are we willing to demand, to say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Are we willing to believe that he won't pass us by, but that he's really got something that is particular and is unique and something that is especially for me? Are you ready for that? Yeah? So let me, I'm not trying to speed up the process here, God. I think God wants to move here. He wants to do things like have us encourage each other and maybe pray for one another, maybe even confess some things that we wouldn't really normally do that, maybe things that are hard. I want to ask a few questions this morning, and they're going to be hard questions. And you may not want to respond, and maybe you won't. Because really, it's up to you, right? Same as it was up to Bartimaeus. He didn't have to yell out. He could have just let Jesus pass by. So today, you can do that too. You can go, I don't want to get involved, you know. I want to be a bystander here. So you can be a bystander, or you can say, no, I'm tired of being a bystander. I want to see something happen. And I'm willing to be open, and I'm willing to have faith today. And it's having to do with how we care for each other, how we pray for each other, how we can maybe embrace each other. There's some people here today, I know this for a fact, some of you are walking around with your past. You're walking around with your past still ahead of you. It's not behind you. It's not dealt with. It's not buried. Your past is still your demon right now. Paul wrote this. I wasn't planning on going here, but I'm just going to read this because he told me this week. So if he can tell me this, let me tell you what he told me. He said this. If you're struggling with your past, if your past is still ahead of you and not behind you and not dead, that's where it really should be. It should be dead. It should be buried. You are no longer that person. The Bible makes that very clear. Your identity, you are a new creation. That is the old you. If you're not buying that, don't go away because I got some really good news for you. He says this, if we have been united, if you want to know, you read this later, Romans 6. If you've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with Jesus in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Can you say hallelujah? Okay, that's kind of one of those golfing clap hallelujahs. We got to quit doing that. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah! 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 Shh. Shh. Woo! Hallelujah! It is no longer you. That man is dead. You are a new creation. Okay. I'm going to ask you to stand up. Those of you who are willing, don't stand up yet. I want to just know, we're going to do, one of the ways we're going to do this today is we're just going to be honest and say, okay, yeah, this is something I struggle with. So if there's anyone here today struggling with the past, still being dominating and controlling your present situation, now I want you to stand up. Is that you? Something from your past. All right. Good, honest. Something from your past, and it's a cancer that you're still struggling with. Sit down. We'll deal with it in a minute. I just want you to be honest about it first. We're going to deal with this in a couple minutes. Don't worry. I want to ask another tough question. Is there anyone here who's been... Someone here today, I believe God was telling me this morning. You're really struggling with suicide. Don't stand up yet. Just listen to me a minute. You've been wondering whether this is all worth it. You've been laying in your bed at night, even thinking about how great that might be to not have to deal with this day after day. And it seems like, sometimes, it seems like it's a pretty good idea. And there's an enemy, and he's whispering it in your ear, and he's telling you to do it. Go ahead. No one will care, or it'll be a good solution. I believe there's maybe a few of us here today struggling with that. And I know it's hard to stand up, but listen, if you don't stand up, you don't cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So that's the part we play. You have to. I can't cry this out for you. We need to cry this out ourselves. It's a cry of faith. Is there anyone here today struggling with suicide thoughts? Just stand up right now. Thank you. Thank you. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Have mercy on me. You guys can sit down. In a minute, there's going to be a few people praying with you. We're going to pray with each other. I'm going to ask you another question. There's someone in your past, and I know this is true. There's someone that you think about, somebody that you've never dealt with, somebody who dominates your thoughts, somebody you hate, somebody you'd like harmed, somebody you'd like to harm yourself. I know that's not everybody. I know that you might go, what? That's not me. That may not be you, but maybe it's someone else sitting beside you. Someone who's really hurt you or grieved you, somebody you want to get even with, and that person, even though you're only realizing this right now, you are realizing that that person is affecting your life. That person is spending way too much time up here in your head. If that's true, I want you to stand up and say, God, this is my issue. Anyone? Okay. Wow. Thanks for your honesty. Thank you. Thank you. Sit down. Okay. All right. Those are just three things. And some of you have stood up. Some of you haven't for all kinds of different reasons. But you have seen some people around you who might need prayer today, who might just need an encouragement. Maybe you're feeling something else. God's saying to you, I need to go talk to Tim and tell him whatever. Or I need to, maybe, here's something. Maybe there's a couple of us here who aren't getting along at all. We are fighting. I don't like her anymore. She's a, and you got to go walk across the room and give her a hug and say, or him a hug and say, you know what? I have been wrong. I'm so sorry. I want to break this off. Maybe there's someone like that today. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to, first of all, we're going to do exactly what the Bible says and see if something's going to happen. By the way, something already happened. So I'm just excited that more stuff's going to happen. We're going to, will you play that again? And what I want you to do in your own way, and you can do this with a loud voice, or you can do it quietly, you can do it in your hands, or you can walk around. This is what we cry to God today. We say, Son of David, have mercy on me. Can we do that? Go ahead. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy. Your kingdom and your power and your reign, you're going to rule forever. Son of David, have mercy on us today. What's happening, Jesus? What do you want to happen? What can I do for you, you say? Well, God, you can have mercy on us. Have mercy on your children. Show your love today. Show your love to us. We are like sheep without a shepherd sometimes. We're scattered and we're lonely and we're hurting. We wonder whether this is all worth it. So, Son of David, have mercy on us. We are desperate for your touch. We're desperate for you to stop today. Would you stop, Jesus? Would you just stop? Would you just stop and hear our voice as we cry out to you? I'm desperate for your love. I'm desperate for your embrace, Jesus. Son of David, have mercy. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one can stop the Lord Almighty. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. And his kingdom will be forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So we have been vulnerable. There have been people nearby you who, you know, said they need something, maybe just a word or a prayer. We're going to play a song. Can you start that I Am Not Alone song? And it's time that we really see what God's going to do. What's going to happen here? It's going to depend, again, on our faith and our obedience. Are you willing to be obedient? Maybe God, right now, God's putting someone in your mind's eye. There's a picture of someone, you know, I need to go and say something to that person. Or maybe it's a young person, or maybe it's someone else. And you go, I know this is from God. Here's something from God for you. Can we do that? Is that really that hard to do? Can we do that? And in doing so, Jesus stops. And he stands in front of us. And he says, hey, I love you. What can I do for you? Do right now. Do whatever he leads you to do.